VentureCast. And I will give you a hint. It was a cover song that she was singing for her encore.
That song about the super right country songs, I'll gladly stand up. That whatever that okay. song was, that okay. for the first Iraq
proud
war.
To be an yeah. American.
That one. Yeah.
I've heard that in many a ball game.
Yeah. If she rolled into that, I probably would head for the exit.
Okay. Ben?
Oh, I'm just going to go with Imagine with a really bad Danish accent. That would get me out in a second.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
What a day here on 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys. Before we even start, out of the gates, we're going with a contest, a music contest. Jeff Simons, 10 seconds of song number one.
Can't let you roam inside my head. I don't want to take what you can give.
Ben Barton, that is Corduroy by Pearl
Indeed.
Jam. All right, second song.
So much pressure. Here we go, ready?
To me.
And that was Mbop by Hanson. And the third song of our trio of songs introducing our first question is...
Mommy's all right, daddy's all right. They just seem a little weird. Surrender, surrender, but don't give yourself...
All right, Jeff Simons, excellent work. Right off the top row.
God, that was stressful. I'm so freaked out already.
No more stress. It's a breeze the rest of the way. Do either of you know what those three artists have in common? They are all Danish Americans.
Is that right?
Yes.
Who's Danish American in Pearl Jam?
Eddie Vedder.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Very nice. I like it.
Rick Nielsen in Cheap Trick. And apparently the whole Hanson clan has Danish roots. Ben Barton, why do we care?
Dude, I'm recording live from Denmark right now.
Wow. Live from Denmark. And that is why we had those musical notes floating your way across the Atlantic. Jeff
Very
Simons,
nice. I like it.
Jeff Simons, where are you?
I'm in my backyard shed post-flag football, pre-Jeff Simons concert in about 3 hours.
Holy cow.
We are getting this in.
You got a gig tonight.
I do.
And you. So let me get
this
afternoon,
straight. In fact.
Let me get this straight, listeners. Jeff Simons is appearing with us on the day of a gig. Ben Barton is appearing with us from Copenhagen, and I'm braving the asbestos of my basement to bring this podcast to the people. It's really quite a tribute.
Commitment. This is the definition of commitment.
Ben, what do you think of Denmark?
Lovely, man. We've had a really, really nice time. Hey, you know, I've complained that rock and roll is basically dead or dying in the United States.
Yes.
They had a concert for Ukraine last night. Ooh. On the square in front of our hotel, and rock and roll is not dead in Denmark, although they're trying really hard to kill it with a Danish version of it. I can tell you that for sure.
Well, so some serious acts out there.
What was the low point? What was the low point?
Oh,
of the
dude,
track
we had a really, really tough low point. We had the Danish Creed come on, and do the new metal with the guy singing in Danish. And India was like, this is a cultural experience. And I was like, I need to go inside as soon as possible. Then they trotted them off the stage. And while they set up the next presumably new metal act, some poor woman came out and sang Imagine with a thick Danish accent, which was pretty grim for me.
Not what we need. That is rough.
It wasn't Gal Gadot, was it? Isn't she the one who got in trouble still, for putting out that
It's amazing. Like, can you imagine, like, if you were in America and there was a contra for some foreign country and it was nothing but Danish music, like, how weird that would be? Like, yeah. It was very, like, the cultural explosion is still going on, for sure.
Well, we are 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys. We chose our name as a little bit of a joke based on the fact that our cultural experiences would be so closely aligned. And yet, look at the diversity today.
Oh, Tim, don't start, man. That's not okay. I'm gonna personally cancel you.
All right, we still have work to do on that front here on the Electricast Podcast Network. We are exploring the year 2004, and we've got a Grammy winner. Whew. Ben Barton.
Good one.
Ben Barton is going to loathe violently from his very comfortable looking bed in Denmark.
It's the Grammy winner.
Genius Loves Company by Ray Charles.
Give your hand to me, and then you say hello, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell you think you know me well, but you don't know me now.
Bring it, duet.
No, you don't know the one who dreams of you each night and longs to kiss your lips.
This is that Tony Bennett record? What is
and
this?
Longs no. To hold you tight. To you, I'm just a friend. That's all
I've
ever been.
$5 for anybody who can name the singer.
I got it.
Well, I know you got it. You're the one who... I was offered Ben $5.
Didn't Tony Bennett do a series of duets that were this bad, or is there another worse version?
This is Ray Charles's duet record.
Oh,
Genius Loves Company.
Genius Loves
Company. Nice. Who's the lady with him?
Mrs. Elvis Costello, Diana Krall.
Oh, very nice.
We've got a Van Morrison duet doing Crazy Love here, Ben, if you want a little piece of that too.
Oh, no, I want no piece of that whatsoever. Let those guys lie. Good for Ray. Get that money. That's fine.
So, doesn't he also die this year?
Yes. I actually saw him in 2003 at a Reno casino with the full horn section and the Ray Letts. So I got to see him before he passed away. That was super
fun. I had the exact same experience, although I think a couple of years before that. But I saw him at Interlochen in Michigan with the full thing. And he was great.
He was great, man.
It's super similar. It's not quite the same as McCartney, but really, really good catalog.
Yep.
You show up and do 55 minutes of greatest hits and you're Ray Charles. It's like, hey, that was awesome.
Yeah, right.
And it's 55 minutes because he needs to lie down. He was really old. Like we got the full hour and that was what he had, you know?
Ben, I won't play another song, but I will. I feel I need to share with you the lineup that joined him on this album. Duets with Norah Jones, James Taylor, Elton John, Natalie Cole, Bonnie Raitt, Willie Nelson, Michael.
By the way, Natalie Cole paying it forward is great. Still just hanging on by your fingertips.
And it's Fever. You give me fever.
Oh,
perfect
boy.
Song.
Michael McDonald, B.B. King, Gladys Knight, Johnny Mathis with Over the Rainbow, and finally Van Morrison live with Ray Charles.
I love that it's live. They like that one take and one take only.
Yeah, Van Winnie.
Trot him out
the
there.
Studio.
If he doesn't stab Ray in the eye with a pencil, we'll keep that take.
So true. What a cantankerous guy.
Oh, that is rough. All right, well, let's get into 2004 proper. Ukraine's election in 2004 is called fraudulent. Massive protests lead to a new election, and we have the Orange Revolution, where Yushchenko, who was poisoned earlier in the election season, is declared the new prime minister of Ukraine. It makes the past 2 weeks all that more heartbreaking to look back on 2004. So we'll move on.
No insert joke here, Timmy, for that. You're just going to leave that.
Let's just move on. It just sucks.
How about that?
It sucks. All right. We had Spain railway bombings in 2004 and the tsunami in Asia. Let's get to better news.
Boy, that was a rough year.
Rough year.
That's a tough big three headline for sure.
Apple's iTunes sells its 200 millionth song in 2004, which, I mean, iTunes was only 2 years old at that point, so it's pretty remarkable. Jeff, how has Spotify changed the music business? I think of, like, when was the last time I bought a song on iTunes? It's got to be years.
Well, if my own sales records are any indication, you haven't, because I assume the two of you are the only ones who would buy it. But yeah, Spotify has changed everything, because I don't think anybody under 50 buys music at all. And so you use your music to advertise your personal appearances or your concert tours or your merchandise, and you just hope for the best. Or you hope for a commercial placement in a commercial or a television show or a movie. Because unless you're a catalog artist, you cannot make money. A living with three 1/1000ths of a cent.
So you used to do that.
Spotify's made it possible for everybody to put their music out to the world and for nobody to make a living. And I don't know if that's better or worse, or the way, you know, is the nature of art since the first artist made art. But that's the big change, I think.
Ben, in 2002. So let's look at 2001. How much money did you spend on music in 2001 versus in, sorry, it's not 2001. Holy shit. It's 2022.
I spent a lot of money on music all the way through this entire period. I really did.
But what if we went back to like 1998?
As I had more money, I spent more. I just spent more on music. Like, it definitely tapers off at some point, but there's like, in this period, I'm just buying it all as if I bought a CD. I'm just buying it from Apple. It's fine. And honestly, I was like, it used to be $15 and now it's $12 or something. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't that bummed about it.
I'm making money. All right. And are you still buying music right now in 2022?
Oh, I'm in a mid-transition. We'll figure this out as we go. There's a much longer story to this, but I used to buy music from a Russian website, which has currently been blocked by my internet provider.
Yeah, because so I'm having no problem whatsoever, by the way.
So
wait, are you getting music from a Russian website?
No, I would never do that. I would never dare you, purchase Tim. Don't. Music illegally.
Oh my God. Are you serious? But you're getting around the government. You're going right to the Russian people for your needs.
Also, Tim, on this Russian website, they have a frequently asked question. And the first one is this legal?
Yes.
Which is a good question.
FAQ.
And the good news is it's legal under Russian law, Tim, in case you're wondering. Oh. And then the second question is, do the artists get paid? And the answer is yes, they get paid under Russian law. In rubles, and when they come to Russia, they can have it. That's what the actual website says. So I assume it's just all on the up and up. As soon as Kanye wants to go to Russia with a big bag to get his rubles, he can have it.
He can do that. It's right there for him. All right. AQ.
And by the way, legal under Russian copyright law is my go-to excuse. Like, when I get pulled over by the police, they're like, did you know how fast you're going? I'm like, legal under Russian copyright law?
See what they say.
It really does. It feels like a pretty solid catch-all to me as well.
A.Q. Khan, the founder of Pakistan's nuclear program, admitted in 2004 to having sold nuclear weapons designs to which three countries?
Jeff, you're going to have to do this one, man.
Yeah, you're looking really, Ben is looking really sleepy, and this is a real question, so we are in trouble. This doesn't have anything to do with...
I'm going
to
say it wasn't Denmark.
All right, how about North Korea, Iran,
yes.
and Burundi?
Oh,
and Iraq.
Oh, no, I missed Burundi?
Yeah, it was Libya coming
in. Oh, Libya.
I'm just going to guess a few of those as well.
Strange trio. You would think he would have sold it to Denmark, Switzerland, Uruguay.
Uruguay is fun to say, isn't it, Tim? We don't talk about Uruguay enough. I'm hoping that we'll get a couple
of hits. In Knoxville, Tennessee, the pride of Uruguay plays for the Tennessee Vols, SEC champs as of this afternoon.
Nice!
Oh, boy.
Santiago Vescovi is plays for the Uruguayan national team and is a junior on your Tennessee Vols.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And
are you picking the Vols all the way? Are you guys, is this your year?
I can't picture us winning a national championship. We'll go through these droughts where it's like watching a second grade team play where it's like, you know how they just can't shoot for like long stretches. Yeah. These guys, they play great defense and they're a fantastic team. Super likable, but I can't imagine a national championship. All of that being said, it's one of the more likable squads I've seen. I love this team.
All right. I'm picking them. I'm in. You sold me.
Yeah, why not?
Michael Moore debuts his film Fahrenheit 9/11. Mel Gibson debuts his film, The Passion of the Christ. Who would you rather have dinner with?
That is a really good question. I'm going to say...
It's got to be Michael Moore. Michael Moore's a Nazi jerk. He's not an evil Nazi, though.
Yeah, exactly. They're both... I would want an exit strategy for both. Like, yeah. I might get a phone call before the entree. Like, what? Oh, no! Like, but Michael Moore...
So
you're not gonna eat a much worse meal with Michael Moore though. Wouldn't you say? Like you're
gonna get you're getting none of the bread basket, like he might take some things off your plate, but like, it's gonna be tough.
That's what I'm saying. You're playing defense in that meal for sure. Is that can I use that as the segue to meals? Because there's a story I'm eager to hear from this Copenhagen trip.
Oh, sure. Let's do that. Ben Barton, how was the meal?
Meal was unbelievable, super yummy. We arrived Friday. Actually, had a nice meal Friday night. Then we went to lunch at noon at Noma. And I got the wine pairing, which, of course, you're going to do. As long as you're doing it, you go ahead and do it. So my first glass of wine arrived at 6:15 a.m., my body clock time.
Breakfast.
And I'm happy to report that that's a first for me.
Okay.
I definitely had not done any drinking at 6 a.m. my body clock time. And second, in the bad news category, I was like, well, this could work out. That was fine. Really nice meal. Felt great all the way through it. Maybe I need to look into that. Unclear.
Maybe morning wine, evening coffee, just to see what it does to you. So it was a terrific meal. And how long did it take?
Yeah, it was a fantastic meal. It was like 2 hours and 45 minutes. And India, me, and Dolly and her boyfriend. And her boyfriend did great. He was super good. Used all the right forks and didn't spill anything on himself. So it was good job by him for sure.
What was the most delicious thing you ate in the meal?
There were multiple things that were really, really delicious. It was all, that's Indy King Cannon in the background.
I just love it. All, she's making an appearance.
All Danish seafood. We had one thing that was just super extra mega fantastic, which was a mussel with a quail egg in it. Huh. And you ate it all as one bite where it just exploded in your mouth. It was so delicious. It was great. And it was all like that. It was like fancy things with fancy things stuffed inside of fancy things. It was really good.
So great. So great.
All right. Well, let's use that as a segue to an advertiser. Maybe it will be Noma. Okay.
Nice. That's my sincere hope.
That's great. Let's get to the number one selling album of 2004.
I like to think that this is what Ben was saying after he ate the mussel wrapped in a quail egg, wrapped in some perfume, that It hit his taste buds, and his taste buds had this reaction.
It's the number one album.
Confessions by Usher.
Peace up, A-Town Dad. Yeah! Okay!
Usher.
Let's go, Usher!
Peace out. Let's go.
Usher. Did you like they used to have an ad in the 70s for Budweiser where there was a bunch of dudes who were the taste buds on a tongue. Do you remember that? Budweiser would hit them and they're like, oh, yeah. Like, I just loved the idea of like that food hitting Ben's mouth and it was like, yeah, okay.
Good stuff. So circling back to Michael Moore, do you know Linda Ronstadt? Was on tour in 2004, and she got kicked out of the Aladdin Hotel in Las Vegas because during her encore, she did one song for her encore, and she would talk about Michael Moore, dedicate the song to him, and implore her audience to go see Fahrenheit 911.
And they kicked her out?
So usually half the audience would boo. And on this particular night, many in the Vegas crowd left and demanded a refund and like tore down her poster, threw drinks. It was a thing. And the owner of the Aladdin Hotel kicked her out. And she said, good riddance. Let's say you're not political, Jeff and Ben. What song could Linda Ronstadt sing that would make you walk out of her encore? And I will give you a hint. It was a cover song that she was singing for her encore.
That song about the super right country songs, I'll gladly stand up. That song was for the first director.
Proud to be an American.
That one.
I've heard that in many a ball game.
If she rolled into that, I probably would head for the exit.
Okay. Ben?
Oh, I'm just going to go with Imagine with a really bad Danish accent. That would get me out in a second.
Every night she would close her tour with Desperado.
Oh, that's a good one. I would tear down some posters.
Yeah, seriously.
Woo! I have a hard time imagining that I would have made it all the way to the encore of Linda's 2004 set.
Yeah.
That was probably had a mixed bag quality to it.
I think you're right. Hey, I talked last week about Dan Meir. You remember the guy our age who's running 17 miles or whatever? Turns out he's training for the St. Louis Marathon.
Awesome.
Which is a big deal. Go, Dan. And he's running for the Angela Gold Music Scholarship Fund. Wanted to put a plug in for the Angela Gold Music Scholarship Fund. Apparently, she was a musician from Colorado to California, Missouri to Hong Kong. She would share her music all around, maybe even Copenhagen. I don't know. But if you give to this fund, some young musician kid gets to go to camp or a convention.
Nice. Yeah. My wife is running the Oakland Marathon next weekend.
Oh.
For nobody. For herself.
Boy, it's a lot of time by yourself. It's a lot of time in your own head. I don't think I could do it. And the physical part, I don't know.
And plus the running.
Yeah, the running.
I love that the part you're worried about is like 2 hours listening to your own demons.
2 hours, that would be fast.
Yeah, no, she's not running the Oakland Marathon in 2 hours.
All right, well, let's pivot to our three albums.
Our three albums.
Boom. Is that you, Ben?
Ben this week, I believe. I went first last week.
I am laying in bed at Denmark. It's very close to bedtime. It's going to be brisk, brisk, brisk. I actually had a full document with all the albums picked out. There was only one album for this year, and it's an easy one. It's Ghost Is Born. I want to belabor Wilco because we've discussed them at length for our fans, but here's what I'll say. Why is this my favorite record? Why is this my favorite Wilco time? First, this is a guitar first record. Tweedy played a lot of the lead on the record. He wrote all the parts for the record, and it's a huge guitar record, which is a welcome change after some more of the keyboardy type stuff. That's first. Second, the songs are weirdly straightforward, especially in comparison to the last record. Like, I love Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. I'm not here to downgrade that at all. But there's only so much you can get out of like the weird pastiche of unconnected phrases. This record is not that at all. Like, this record is one story song after another. I love, love, love that. And then most importantly, he rebuilt the band on the fly. And it doesn't happen all in the recording in this record, but by the time you get to Kicking Television, which is the live album that comes out a year later, you get the final version of Wilco where he's changed everything. He's got a new drummer. He's got another guitarist. He's filled out the sound. The tour for this record was unbelievable. And it seemed to me like they were on tour continuously after, I mean, Tweedy went to rehab too, which also helped. Came out of rehab, a changed person, a more electrified person. Like, I remember seeing him in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he was like, I had a beautiful run at the IMS Nature Center today. Like, he was just really, really energized, grateful to be alive and killing it live. This tour was so unbelievably good. So I'm going to ask Jeff, late greats from Kicking Television. I know it's a little bit cheating because the recording is the next year, but you get a flavor for it. Here's what you get a flavor for. First, the beginning part of it is that beautiful acoustic being there sound to Wilco. And then the pre-chorus of the dong, dong, da-na-na-na-na, you get to hear is like really intricate and beautiful, almost filigreed electric guitar work.
Yeah.
And it's a story of bands you never hear on the radio. I love this one. This is Dolly and George's favorite Wilco song. It's become one of my favorites.
Love
Hit
it.
Me, please.
Yeah.
A Ghost is Born by Wilco.
The greatest track of all time. The greatest every time. Can't hear it on the radio. Can't hear it anywhere you go. The best bands will never get signed. Can't set a star which is by. So good you won't ever know. They never even played a show. Can't hear them on the radio.
So
yeah,
good.
I just love that one.
Love that song.
But Hell is Chrome is amazing. Two really long songs that have the AC/DC songs in the middle are unbelievable. I just love this record.
Is this so Nels Klein is on this record or before?
He's not.
The recording of the album is all Tweedy. I think he plays all the guitar parts, right?
I believe he does. Yeah. Yeah.
But then Nils Klein brings it in and just sort of takes it up to another level. But I mean, the record itself, I think, is fantastic. I love it.
So did you know that today is the 1 year anniversary of Michael Jorgensen coming on our podcast?
Is that right?
Yeah. Isn't that fun? Nice. Yeah. Let's go. Jeff Simons, what do you want to say about Wilco?
Well, this record, I had a really complicated relationship with this record because I bought it on the road. I was on the road with Rich Price and we stopped at a gas station and I ran across the street to like a Walmart or something to buy it because I knew it had come out that day.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't hear it at first. I was disappointed with the some of the arrangements. I thought the band was getting slower and slower. And it was a particularly difficult part of that tour because my personal life was coming completely apart right when I bought this record. So I actually put it away and couldn't hear it for a couple months. And then I came and visited you, Timmy,
Okay.
And you had it on a loop. Your iPod basically had only this record and the Jenny Lewis record on it. And
sounds
you were just
like
playing
me.
Them back and forth. You just put A Ghost Is Born on a loop, and we listened to it like six times in a row over the course of a night. And I started to finally hear it. And then I saw the tour that Ben is talking about, and the songs were just so spectacular live. Like they just, each one just tore me open. So I have since come back and gained a tremendous amount of affection for this record. But it is not my favorite Wilco record. And it does, for me, bring up and remind me of a particularly complicated moment in my adult life. So I don't have the same kind of, I did not come to it like, oh, this is the record I've been looking for. And in fact, it probably took me a full year before I could really hear it. Out of its original context.
Well,
but I had such a sense memory of getting back in the tour van, unwrapping
it
and putting it in the CD player of the van. And then I, you know, driving for like 300 miles through Kansas and just being like, I don't know.
Yeah, Ben, it
Jimmy,
is.
What's your favorite Wilco record?
Jeff or me?
No, you. I know Jeff's.
Wait, what's Jeff's?
I think it's the next one with the one that has Impossible Germany on, I think is his favorite, right?
No, I think it's probably Being There after all these years. I think Being There.
Being There, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It changes day to day, but if I had to only take one somewhere, I think I would take that one.
I think I've got Yankee. Well, what's the one with Handshake Drugs?
This one.
Oh, well done. I love this one.
It's you and me, Tim. I love it, man.
But this was the first non-Jay Bennett Wilco album, right?
I mean, I guess it was, yeah.
So I think a lot of people were like, wait, what is this? They weren't into those first three songs. What are the first three songs, Jeff?
At least that's what you said. Hell is Chrome. And
then Kid Smoke. I mean, people were idiots because those songs are fantastic.
Yeah, I remember first
bang,
listening
bang,
to them and not getting them, I think. But I love them now. All right. Well, let's we're gonna go. We're gonna be under an hour, so this kid can get to sleep. Go. So, listeners, if you haven't heard of Wilco, check them out.
Jeff, let's do this, man.
So Ben knows what's coming in 2004. He's been alluding to it, and how could I not? With Ben.
Oh no,
in
you're not
Denmark.
Gonna do it. No,
oh, I
please.
Am. With Ben in Denmark, how can I not shout out my favorite Nordic rock and roll band?
Oh, no.
So one of the things about loving music your whole life is you meet people who also love music and you're just kind of in a constant conversation with them. I have friends who, like, the third question we ask each other is, what are you listening to? Because our music fandom is the connection point of all the rest of our friendship. And so in 2004, home from tour, right? Fried, put my life back together. You know, I needed to regroup. So I went to Amoeba Music in downtown San Francisco, which is an old bowling alley filled with music. And I'm there for the afternoon. Like, I've gotten lunch on Haight Street and I've wandered over there about 1 o'clock and I have no plans to leave for hours and hours and hours. I'm going to listen to stuff. I'm going to wander the racks. I'm just going to be with the people. And so I ran into three or four friends who were also musicians. What are you listening to? We talked to each other. We recommended CDs. And I ran into my friend Chris Peck, who's a damn fine guitar player from Marin County and a great songwriter in his own right. And I said, what do you listen? I got as far as, what do you listen? And he was like, Dungeon. Like, what the hell is? And I thought he said Dungeon. Funny, right? Like, what the hell is a Dungeon? He's like, it's this band from Sweden. And Chris's tastes are all over the place. And so you take his recommendations sometimes with a grain of salt. But he's like, and he walked me over to the D section and pulled out this record. And he's like, you have to listen. You just buy it. Just trust me and buy it. You have to hear this record. And so I was like, yeah. And I put, you know,
sure.
It was like, has that plastic CD of plastic so you can like loop it around your arm. And so he leaves and I'm like, going to put it back. But I was like, well, maybe it's in a listening section. So I go to one of those listening booths and sure enough, there's the Dungeon record. It's an Amoeba pick. And the guy was a little, they had a little helpful 3x5 card, like written. Uh-huh. It was like, it means Grove of Trees. You have to hear this. The record's called Tadalant. I don't speak any of this language. I don't know what any of these songs are about. All I know is I put in track one and 45 seconds in, I was like, I'm buying this and I'm buying every record Dungeon has ever made and will ever make. And I still do. Dungeon makes a, they're kind of in hiatus now. They only put out a couple of songs every two or three years, but all through the 2000s and early 2010s, Dungeon made a record every 18 months. I bought every single one. I loved every single one. I had seen this band in concert four times, including Bonnaroo. I saw them at the bottom of the hill with like 80 other freaky Dungeon fans. I saw them at the Great American a few times. This is a killer, killer rock and roll band. I don't know how to tell you what they sound like. They're a very weird pastiche of all a bunch of other different styles. The lead singer is a dynamite guitar player and frontman who then inexplicably decides to play flute from time to time. The lead guitar player,
you know, that pleases me every time. Yeah.
The lead guitar player is so unbelievably good. Like, just like so,
wow,
so strong. The all drummer right. looks like he just woke up from a nap. Like, his head doesn't move. And you'll hear this song I'm going to play begins with a drum solo. And you'll hear how just what a lunatic drummer he is. But he literally looks like he's reading the Sunday newspaper while he plays. Like, his arms are the only thing moving and his head stays completely still.
Oh, boy.
This is music fandom at its best, right? I never would have heard of these guys if it hadn't been for my friend Chris. And this is why, good listeners, you bother listening to this podcast. Because me telling you that Tom Petty is good is not very helpful. But me telling you to go home or turn off this podcast when it's over and cue up Dungeon, D-U-N-G-E-N's Ta De Lunt, and check out this record. Here's the lead off track, which is called Panda, which I'm pretty sure does not mean panda. But I like to think that it's a song about a panda, because who knows what it's about. I will never bother to learn what these songs are about. I don't care. I know the second record translates to fuck it all, which I think is really funny. But here it is, Dungeon. And we will prepare ourselves for Ben's retort. But here we go.
Ta De Lunt by Dungeon. Thanks, Jeff.
Love that so much.
Talk about band. Not getting it. I do not get it.
Oh, so great.
Oh, don't worry, Tim. You're in the minority. Everyone else got it for sure. Talk about accessible. People love that. Here's what I'll say.
So inaccessible, and it is
first of
so
all
fantastic.
Jeff was able to digest it for me. He described it as the Swedish Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, well, I mean, anybody's Led Zeppelin would be pretty good. And I was like, do they sing in English? Because, I mean, ABBA sang in English and AHA sang in English. Surely Dungeon can learn to sing in English. They teach English from like kindergarten on. These guys probably speak English. Jeff was like, nope. They just sing in Swedish. And I was like, when do you have any idea what the songs are about? He was like, nope, it's in Swedish.
It really is, man. It is intended to be in Swedish.
It's not early Led Zeppelin either. It's not the 2.5 minute songs of Led Zeppelin 1, 2, or maybe 3.
No, it is not.
They go into, and it's like the live version of Led Zeppelin in 1975, where songs are 18 minutes long and they're really going for meanders. We did, in fact, see them at Bonnaroo. Jeff did, in fact, push this record on me. I did, in fact, buy it and listen to it. And there are parts that, I mean, the guy can really, like, the guitarist can really play. There are parts with noticeable melodies. And listeners, if you've ever asked yourself the question, would I like Led Zeppelin if I couldn't understand any of the words? The answer is no for me. No, I would not like
it. But see,
that.
I do love Led Zeppelin. I have no idea what the words are. I still don't know the words to half the Led Zeppelin songs.
Oh, yeah. At least you could pick out every other word.
Well, that's true.
Was that the first song? That was the song that drew you in?
That's track one. That's it. Yeah.
In the listening booth. You were like, ooh.
But Tim, if you hang in there, man, there's more Swedish than eventually a flute solo. So you can just put that on your wish list.
I'll give Timmy something a little bit. Here's the
title
track.
No, uncalled for.
Oh, yeah. Title track. Here we go. Way more accessible when you get later into the record.
The thing that's so funny about it is when the song starts and there's guitar, bass, and drums, I'm like, okay,
yeah,
something good could happen here. Like I could imagine a world where this works out for me. And then as soon as the dude starts singing in Swedish, I'm like, whoa, hey. In the full world of outcomes, we've hit a rather low version. Like, we really hit the bottom end of what I was hoping for out of this experience.
I didn't even play Gjort Bort Sig, which is the killer track two on this record, too.
Yeah. Well, we were running out of time, so we will move along in the interest of our co-host over there.
I think they
They were the encore act, Ben, in the concert outside your hotel. I don't know if you noticed that. You should have stuck with
it. Dungeon would have caused a riot at the Ukraine Relief Fund concert. You can't.
Woo! All right. Well, let's get to an artist we've already referenced tonight here on this particular podcast. My pick for 2004 is Rilo Kiley's More Adventurous. And let's go at the 2 minute mark, Jeff Simons, of It's a Hit. The 2 minute mark, you're going to start us off.
I love that you guys think this is just easy to do.
Oh, you are a DJ.
More Adventurous by Rilo Kiley.
All that pain, and maybe you'll get paid. But it's a sin when success complains, and your writer's block, it don't mean shit. Just throw it against the wall and see what sticks. Gotta write a hit, I think this is it. It's a hit.
Adventures, Rilo Kiley. That seems more accessible.
Anything is more accessible than my pick. Lou Reed's Metal Machine Music is probably more immediately accessible.
I love this album.
You think about it this way, like Rilo Kiley is your meal with Michael Moore, and my Dungeon pick is that fancy restaurant that Tim ate at. Like the Dungeon songs are all like quail egg inside the muscle. with the special sauce.
But she's not McDonald's.
No. I mean,
she's like a local.
Oh, no, she's great. This is great.
Well, Kylie's great.
Vegetarian restaurant, yeah.
I prefer Under the Blacklight, the one that comes next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To this record. That Under the Blacklight record I thought was just awesome.
Well, she's still with the band here. She's not out on her own. But like, I love that song, Portions for Foxes. I think she crushes that. And then it has The Absence of God. If you don't know that song, you got to check out The Absence of God, especially if you've ever had questions about faith. Jenny Lewis will show you the way.
There you go. And if you have questions about gibberish, you can check out Gjort Bort Sig.
No, come on. It's a language. It's a real language.
Well, yes.
Gibberish.
Well, to idiots like me.
Yeah. So Ben Barton, you guys have a great, great time in Denmark. We're gonna let you go to sleep. How many more days?
We're here till Friday, man. So we gotta hold us like 5 more days. We're gonna have a great time.
Amazing. We are not going to do another podcast from Denmark, however. We will get home.
Fair.
Yeah. But, hey, one thing I've heard about Denmark, super friendly people. Are you finding that is so?
People are friendly. Town is beautiful. Our daughter, Dolly, is studying abroad here, and she's been the tour guide with the most. I mean, she's just been taken around to all the places. It's been fantastic.
So great. Awesome. Jeff, you ever been to Denmark?
I have not. I have not been. My wife is eager to move there. She read an article about this. Is it Helga, the Danish way of life?
No, Higgy. I don't know how to pronounce this. H-Y-G-G-E. But yeah, dude, there's a reason why you have to be comfortable in slippers is because of the weather. I'm just going to just warn her about the weather.
Oh, really?
We've had spectacular weather, Jeff. It's been 42 and sunny. And Dolly, like, first of all, it's 42 and sunny. And it's like just a street party here.
Wow.
Like, everyone's out and about, drunk as hell at noon. Like, can you believe the weather? And I'm like, oh, I can believe it. Holy shit. But yeah, if it's not a cold driving rain 9 months of the year, then they're just out and enjoying it.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
That's great. All right. Well, tell the Danes we said hello. Jeff Simons, have a great Sunday.
Thank you. Wish me luck, boys. I'm going to
Go get them, Jeff.
Tonight's the night. Well done, man.
I'll be on a stage sweating in 3 hours.
So, wait, what are you going to open with?
I'm going to open with a brand new song that I've never performed or released before. So.
And we should be there for sure, man. Wait, see, he told us it was a nothing show. Now he's opening with new material.
What's it called?
It's called 48 Lines About 12 Men. It's a Hold Steady parody song.
Oh, I think I did. I sent
you the demo, yeah.
That's right. Oh, fun. That's a great way to start the gig.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah, it's a 30-minute set, so we're doing 8 songs, 30 minutes. We're doing an Elvis Costello cover. We're going to have a good time.
Awesome.
That's awesome, man. Go get them.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your trip, my brother.
All right, y'all. See you later.
It's nice to see you healthy again, Tim. Dude, that's been a nice change. Yeah, you look like yourself.
The sharp haircut, huh?
Strong and well,
no doubt. All right, see later, friends. Guys. Bye.
Hi, I'm Lessa Gaudet, host of Her Extraordinary Life by Design podcast, where we celebrate women who are shaping their lives one extraordinary day at a time. I speak with women from all over the world about what they do and how they are passionately pursuing their dreams and creating meaningful impacts on their communities. So come join us and learn about all there is to learn about these extraordinary women.
Mile, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wanna Bet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wanna Bet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. No more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric acid. Electric acid.